As I think about being a servant of Christ, one thing that I'm thankful for as a servant is Christ's example. In fact, I'm so thankful that I would like to follow His example. How many of you would like to model your life after Christ? Could I see your hands? All right. So if I could show you something from the Scriptures that maybe you haven't seen before, about Christ's example, wouldn't you want to make it a part of your life? Well, that's what my goal is today, is to share with you something I see in the Scriptures that is really tremendous about what Christ leaves for us as an example. And as our meditation verse points out, let's follow the examples that He gives us in Scripture. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 11. I'd like to share with you a few things from the Scriptures from John, and we'll begin in chapter 11. But let's pause just for another moment of prayer as we begin. Father, we thank You for the privilege of opening Your Word. Lord, help it be an encouragement to us today. Lord, so encouraging that we would follow Your example. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the message today, you only need to remember three words, and I'm going to practice them with you so as we go through the message, you'll have it down. The three words are aware, intentional, and accountable. Let's see if you can repeat those after me. Aware, intentional, and accountable. Okay, remember those three words because that's going to be your challenge for today. And what we will see as we look into the Scriptures about the example that Christ leaves for us. Christ shows us that He's aware, that He's intentional, and that He holds people accountable. In John chapter 11, let's just read a few verses and then we'll jump into the account of what happened. Beginning with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. Just one little side note here. Scholar Warren Wiersbe says that Jesus was likely in another town called Bethabara, which was roughly 20 miles away. But this setting is in Bethany, where Lazarus is sick. Verse 2, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, he whom Thou lovest is sick. So there in verse 3, we recognize that we'll call this day one, that the sisters send the message to Jesus, say roughly a good day's journey away, or at least a part of a day's journey away. They don't ask Jesus to heal him, but they say he's sick. So that would be day one. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So as this account unfolds, what we see there back in verse 3, the sisters send a messenger. In verse 4, Jesus receives the message that Lazarus is sick. And what does He do? He sends a message back. This message might have been a little confusing to the sisters when they receive it, because what we're going to find out is that's day two, but actually Lazarus is already dead on day two. He died on day one after the messenger left in verse 3. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith to His disciples, let us go into Judea again. Let's drop down to verse 11. These things he said he, and after that He saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. So the disciples were a little slow there. So in verse 14, Jesus makes it really clear. Verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now remember, the message that Jesus got on day two was what? Lazarus is sick. But Jesus already knew Lazarus was dead. And he was informing the disciples. Verse 15 is a good verse. It says, And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to them. Skip down to verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now at this moment he's speaking to Martha and he says, Believest thou this? He asked her a question. So there's a lot going on here in these verses. We're not reading the whole chapter, but I'm hopeful that you've read the book of John in this chapter and are pretty familiar with the account. There's a lot going on. If you look at the rest of the chapter, you'll notice that beginning in verse 21, there's a dialogue with Martha and then later with her sister Mary. Preceding that in the verses, the dialogue was really with the disciples. And then after it's with the sisters, it transitions a little bit more, and it's really with the Jews, as you look at what happens through the course of the chapter. So remember those three words we just talked about. Aware, intentional, and accountable. And with the backdrop of this chapter, let's kind of think about those particular words. What was Jesus aware of? Well, on day one, even though the messenger was sent and he received that message, he was aware that Lazarus was already dead. How do we know that? If you look on down into the scriptures, look at verse number 17. When Jesus arrives on the scene, it says Lazarus had been dead 4 days. So if you're good at math, you can do the deduction and figure out that Lazarus died on day one. We can see that Jesus was clearly aware of that. And yes, when you're thinking of personal application, Jesus has a somewhat of an advantage on us. He is God, so he can know what he wants to know. But there are things that we should recognize and know as we go through our life as well. So Jesus knew that before the messenger arrived, Lazarus was dead. So look at the message, though, he sends back in verse 4. He tells the sisters, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, the sisters, when they got that message, knowing that Lazarus had already died, might have been a little confused about that message. Jesus wasn't confused. It was an intentional message. So, day one, we know what happens. Day two, Jesus is aware of the return of the messenger and the message he gave. Day four, Jesus arrives. And in two verses in this chapter, it says, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Jesus declares in verses 25 and 26 that he has power over death. But also, Jesus is aware of what comes next in the timeline that John lays out in this gospel. He knows what's about to transpire. You see, Jesus had performed many signs and miracles, but he puts a really big exclamation point by raising Lazarus from the dead on his miracles after being dead 4 days. If you look at the words in these scriptures, you see lots of intensity and emotion taking place. So Jesus is very aware of what's happening. But he's also intentional. He gave an intentional message to the one who had been sent to him to take back. If you notice in verse 6, He stayed two more days. He intentionally delayed coming. In verse 14, he intentionally tells the disciples, Lazarus is dead. And later in the chapter, in verses 43 and 44, he demonstrates that he has power over death when he says, Lazarus, come forth. So he's very intentional. There's another little thing I really like that's buried in these verses in verse number 28. Once he gets into the dialogue with the sisters, look what it says there in verse 28. He's talking with Martha, but he sends Martha back to call for Mary. And Mary takes the message, he calls for you. So Jesus is intentionally dialoguing with the sisters. He's intentionally meeting with Mary and with Martha. So he's aware and he's intentional in what he does. But what about being accountable? Well, first he's working on the disciples. The first few verses in this chapter, he's really working on the disciples. Some people might think the disciples were super saints, but they had their problems along the way. Christ had to mature and nurture them along the way. You get that sense as you read these verses. But if you look with me at verse number 15, look what he's doing for the disciples. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Faith. He's working on the disciples' faith. And you might be scratching your head saying, well, why is that necessary after all that they've seen him do? Well, the more you read, the more you'll understand that question. So he's working on the faith of the disciples. And can you imagine if you were a disciple and you were amongst them at that time? You would have been scratching your head about this because you would have been thinking, okay, Lazarus is his friend. He loves Lazarus. Why didn't he go on day one? Or why didn't he just tell the messenger, don't worry, he's already healed? Christ healed people without being present. So if you were a disciple, you would have been a little confused maybe. Did Jesus really love this guy like we think? But look what he says, that you may believe. So he's holding them accountable for their faith. He's holding them accountable for their faith. So let's think about the sisters. From their perspective, they were thinking, well, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. So the sisters might have been confused. Or if you'd only said the word, he could have been healed. If you look back at verse 26 again, look what he asks when he's dialoguing with Martha. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He's holding the sisters accountable for their faith. He's working on their faith. He's trying to build their faith. So again, accountable. And I really like verse 25 too, because one of the real reasons he raised Lazarus was so he could declare, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he proves it. But what about the Jews here? The Jews that were with him. If you flip over and look with me down to verse number 45, it says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. So he's holding the Jews accountable for their faith. If you were a Jew and you witnessed that and you saw someone you knew die and Christ raise him from the dead, wow, what an event. He's holding them accountable for their faith. But I have some bad news. Not all of them believed. Verse 46. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees. He's holding them accountable for their faith as well. And then if you look even further into the chapter, in verse 47, he's holding the chief priests and the Pharisees accountable for their faith as well, and what they believe and who he is. If you think about it, they had interrogated previous people Jesus had healed. If you went back to John chapter 9, he healed a man blind from birth. The Pharisees interrogated that guy. They had to know that it was a real miracle. When it comes to this miracle, what do? Even though they know that he raised someone from the dead, they plot to kill him. In fact, when you get into John chapter 12, guess who else they want to kill? Lazarus. They want to get rid of the evidence. So, quite an amazing account in Scripture. So these three words, aware, intentional, and accountable, I see in many examples in Scripture, even in the book of John. We have here where he raised Lazarus. I mentioned the man born blind. If we had time to go back into that example, it's amazing how aware Christ was of the festival that he was partaking of, the Feast of Tabernacles. So he was aware, intentional, and he held them accountable in many examples in Scripture. But let's think about you and me. Let's talk about you and me. So here not too long ago, I became aware of a coworker in my place of employment, and this coworker was not living like a believer. I became aware of their lifestyle, and I became aware of the turmoil that was in their life. So I intentionally set up a meeting with this person. Let's call this person Johnny. And in this meeting, began a dialogue talking with Johnny about their life. And I found out that Johnny had made a profession of faith at a younger age. But I was aware that Johnny was not living like a believer. So knowing that, I shared with Johnny that the saving faith that I'm aware of results in something. It results in fruit, in a life lived for Christ. So I was holding Johnny accountable for his faith in Christ. So I was aware, I was intentional, and I was holding Johnny accountable for his faith. So what if you have a neighbor? Now, my dad's a good example of this. My dad will become aware of a neighbor in need. Maybe they're doing a project like fixing a porch or repairing a roof. He becomes aware, and he's intentional. He shows up and gets involved and holds himself accountable for that little phrase, "Who is my neighbor?" Or what about you? What if in the place you're ministering, maybe in a local church, you become aware of a teen in need, and the Holy Spirit's knocking and says, you need to do something intentional. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. You need to get involved in their life and help them. Again, aware, intentional, accountable. What if you're walking down the hall at school and you see a fellow student in need and you're aware? You need to be intentional in meeting that need and holding yourself accountable before the Lord and to your friends. So in every area of life, I see this example that Christ gave us applying. He is our example, and we should really just seek to follow what he has for us. Now, you may find this a little bit on the odd side of life, but I even apply this concept in hunting. You see, when I think about going hunting, I become aware of the details. I like to know the direction of the wind. I like to know the position of the sun. I like to know the lay of the land and the trees and where things are at. Because when I'm aware of all these things, I become intentional. You see, I will intentionally walk into the wind. You want to be downwind of an animal, by the way, in case you guys don't know that. So I'm intentional in the direction I walk. It's even preferable to have the sun at my back for lighting purposes. I'm also intentional in the clothing that I wear. It's not scented. I don't use brighteners because brighteners are like neon signs to wildlife. And then I'm accountable in that activity. I practice so that I can make a good shot. I practice and I'm aware and I'm intentional because I also want to be safe in the environment that I'm in. So Christ encourages us to follow His example, like in the meditation verse that we read. In example after example in Scriptures, I see Christ being aware, intentional, and holding us accountable. So my challenge for you this week is think about those three words. Think about it in how you're conducting yourself in your Christian walk. Think about it when you're thankful for Christ's example. And be so thankful for His example that you'll make it a part of who you are, that you'll be like Christ.